Let us ask the Lord to show that love in our own hearts as well. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning reminded of how great and awesome you are. We've sung of your greatness and your power. You are the great God, Jehovah, the great I am. Lord, you do have the power of creation, and you did create us. Lord, you made us, and we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we know that all things are in the control of your hands from beginning to end, Lord. You are God. So, Lord, we praise you, and we lift up our praises to you as creator. But, Lord, your heart goes deeper than being just our creator. Lord, you have loved us, and you have set your love upon us. And we know that is true because you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to show us what love really is, to show us what it means to live for God and what it means to die. Lord, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which has bought us out of the slavery of sin, forgiven us of our trespasses, and brought us to you into fellowship with the great God Almighty. Lord, we praise your name for this love. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fill us so that we would know how wide this love is, how deep this love is, how high this love is, and how it extends forever. Lord, and as we come into this love of Jesus Christ, I pray that we would rejoice and give glory to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that you would take us. Lord, there are people who long to be here with us this morning, and their bodies do not allow them to be. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and that you would keep them, each and every one in their way. Lord, draw them to yourself, even as they long to be here with us. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, Lord, make it clear and let your words speak straight to our hearts, words of comfort. Lord, words to take the troubles of our hearts and let them melt away in your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would open up your Bible to John chapter 14, we are stepping into John chapter 14 and some of the sweetest, most tender verses that you have ever heard. It's words straight from the lips of Jesus. So I want to begin by reading the first three verses, and I want to ask you if you would please stand and let us read together John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. These are the words of Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Lord, we pray that you would take these words, your words, and apply them to our hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's just be honest and clear the air this morning. We have heart troubles, right? Christians have troubled hearts. And I'm not talking about the high cholesterol levels, nor the high blood pressure or clogged arteries. I'm not speaking to that. I don't know one way or another. This is what I'm talking about. Fear, anxiety, worry. We have these in our hearts and lives. The souls of Jesus' people have troubled hearts. Now, if you can identify with being a follower of Jesus and having a troubled heart, I want to say two things to you. Now, in my heart and mind, I'm raising my hand right now, so I can identify with that. Being a follower of Jesus and then having a troubled heart. I want to say two things to you from the text. Number one, know this, you are not alone. You are not alone in your troubled heart. And number two, Jesus has words of hope and comfort for you this very morning. He has hope, words of hope and comfort for you who have a troubled heart this very morning. You are not alone, and Jesus has words for you. Now, let's take these one at a time from the text of Scripture. You are not alone. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus spoke this to his disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. And what does that mean? That means their hearts were what? Troubled. Their hearts were troubled. They were stirred inside. And from this book of John, I know of at least four reasons. There's probably many, many more that their hearts were troubled. The first reason, Jesus told his disciples that he was getting ready to depart from them and they could not follow. Now, I want you to think about that just for one second. This is from chapter 13, verse 33. Let me read it. Little children, Jesus says, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, and so now I say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. These are people who Jesus said, come and see, follow me. He told them to follow them. And now, here, up in this upper room, he tells his 12 disciples, I'm going somewhere, and you can't follow me. And it troubled their hearts. They had given themselves over to Jesus. They are disciples. And what does a disciple mean? A follower. And he's saying, you can't follow me. So their hearts are troubled. Reason number one. Number two, Jesus told them that he was going to die. Chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He goes on to say in verse 32, and when I am lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself. And he said this to show by what type of death he was going to die. So Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die. So you think about that. They had embraced Jesus as the Messiah. They had embraced him as the one that I am putting my lot in with you. And Jesus says, well, I'm going somewhere that you can't go, and I'm going to die. The one that they have trusted is going to die. The third reason their heart was troubled, Jesus told them that one of the 12 was going to betray him. Chapter 13, verse 21. Jesus said he was troubled in spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. So here they are. They're in the upper room, and there's one, they don't know who, is going to betray Jesus. And fourth, not only will one betray, but Peter himself will deny Jesus. Verse 38 of chapter 13, Jesus answered, will you, that's Peter, lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. The disciples' hearts were troubled. They had put their feet on what they thought were solid ground, and it's shaken. Jesus had given them a glimpse of what was to come, and it rocked their boat. Their hearts were troubled. Now, let me ask you this question. How did Jesus respond to troubled hearts? Your heart's been troubled? How does Jesus respond to disciples who have troubled hearts? This is what he says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Let that sink in for a second. Don't let your heart be troubled. He does not want his disciples to dwell in the place of fear and anxiety. Now, here's the thing. You are not alone. The disciples, every single one of them, every one of the apostles, had a troubled heart. Now, if you were like me, you probably said, well, that was then. What about now? What about now? What about the hearts of Jesus' followers now? Following Jesus is not immunity from a troubled heart. Anxiety, fear still comes to our heart. Why is that? Just like the disciples, we don't know what lies ahead. and we're not in control. We can have the best laid plans, and then what happens? They go out the window with one event that we were not expecting. We do not know what lies ahead, and we are not in control. Guess what? We're not, to use the big word, omniscient, and we're not omnipotent. We don't know everything, and we don't have all power. We all know this feeling of a troubled heart. We all know it. When something comes our way, maybe it's that doctor's appointment, and the doctor's gone a little bit longer than what you thought. And when they come back, what type of news do they have? News that things are not all well. In fact, news that things may not go very well in the future. Your heart, what does it do? It's troubled. It's troubled. What about this? You pick up that phone call, right? And someone starts talking to you, and they say things that you were not expecting. And what does your heart do? It sinks. It's troubled. Oh, Lord, I did never expect it. This. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and I'm certainly not in control. What about at school? When you get that report card, and it says something that you don't expect it to say, and what does your heart do? It goes straight to the floor. Or at work, you come to work, and what? That slip of paper is for you. And now the job that you had counted on to take care of your family, it's no longer there. And what does your heart do? It's troubled. Troubled. If you are a disciple of Jesus, and you have a troubled heart, know this, you are not alone. Every one of us have had a troubled heart to one degree or another at certain times in our life. How does Jesus address his disciples with a troubled heart? He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Troubled hearts are part of being human, even Christian. But that's not the place that Jesus wants his disciples to stay. He does not want them to abide in fear and anxiety, so he speaks to them. Don't let your heart be like this. Let me tell you some words. I have words of encouragement for you, he says. Now, as Jesus continues to speak, he has something to say to his disciples' hearts that are troubled. And what is that something to say? He says this. Let us read on in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What is Jesus' word to troubled hearts? Believe in God. And that's very important to put in God at the end of that. Jesus comforts his disciples by telling them to believe in God. Now, some translations say this, you have believed in God, believe also in me. And that's a good translation. Others say, believe in God, more of an imperative. Probably the latter one is more accurate. Believe in God, believe in me. He's telling his disciples to do something that they're not doing. They're not trusting in God right now. He's saying, believe in God. Now, to his disciples who were familiar with the Old Testament, these words would have rang familiar, right? You remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in God. Believe. Or Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence does my help cometh? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So this is the question that arises in my heart. How does faith in God comfort a troubled heart? How does believing in God bring peace to a heart that's full of worry and anxiety? This is something that we need to connect together. Biblical faith, let me say that again. Biblical faith always has an object. Biblical faith always has an object. So slogans like this, just believe, that's not biblical faith. Or you got to have faith, that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith always has an object, and the object is God. We just don't believe, we believe in God. That's very important because as trust in God increases, troubles in heart decrease. As trust in God increases, your troubled heart decreases. Why? Why is that true? Why is it true that as faith in God increases, your troubled heart decreases? Well, for the math people out there, this is the formula that we have. The formula for a troubled heart is this: big problems plus a small God. If you have big problems in your life and you have a very small God or no God, guess what you're going to have? A troubled heart. Now, what is the formula for a heart that's comforted or a heart with peace? Big problems in your life, bigger God. A God who is sovereign. A God who is good and great. That is the formula for a comforted heart. I say that because I never, ever want to minimize the problems that we have in our heart and life. They are big. They shake us to the core. So the way to address fear and anxiety in our hearts is not to minimize the problems that we have, but to maximize our trust in the God who can take care of the problems. Listen to this. Psalm 121, the psalmist puts God up in his proper place. He is sovereign, all-powerful, and good. So what I want to do is read the entirety of Psalm 121. Now, it's only a few verses, 8 verses, but I want you to listen how this psalm comforts troubled hearts. Psalm 121. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Friends, who keeps his people? The Lord keeps his people. Do you have a troubled heart? Yes. Trust in the Lord. Believe in God who made the heavens and the earth and who loves you. Biblical faith always has an object, and the object is God. So, when your heart becomes troubled, or when my heart becomes troubled, what am I to do? What are you to do? Number one, remember that you are not alone. Sometimes we feel so isolated in our fears, in our anxieties, that we think that we're the only one that have feelings like this. So what do? Remember that you're not alone and talk to somebody. Talk to someone who trusts God and loves you. You might find out that they have a little bit of wisdom to speak into your life, and you might find out that you have some wisdom to speak into their life, because their hearts might be troubled too. So don't stay isolated if your heart is troubled. Talk to someone who loves God and who loves you. Number two, remember who God really is and that he is trustworthy. He is good, full of compassion, and he is sovereign. He is in control of everything. No matter what you are facing, God always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. So if you have a troubled heart, what do you need to do? You need to take God's promises and make them your own. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge his path, and acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Memorize scriptures to comfort your heart. You need God's promises. I need God's promises. Saturate your life with God's promises. When you find your heart is troubled, run to the Word and allow God, through the Word, through prayer, through His Holy Spirit, to comfort your troubled heart. And lastly, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that brings us to the next point there in John chapter 14, verse 1. Believe in God. And then what does Jesus say right after that? Believe in me. That's pretty huge, isn't it? Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, what you need to do with your troubled heart is trust in God. And immediately he says, believe in me. Well, what does that say about the person of Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, this is who Jesus is. Jesus is the God of the Old Testament in flesh. Jesus here is establishing the bedrock foundation to comfort troubled hearts. And he's saying this, you have to believe in God to comfort your heart. And this bedrock foundation has two pillars in it, God the Father and God the Son. Trust in me and I will comfort your hearts. And then he goes on to explain what that means. You trust in Jesus, that means you are trusting in the Almighty God who created heaven and earth. He is comforting his disciples' hearts because he's telling them that their trust has not been put in the wrong place. Trust in God, trust in me. Yes, I am going away. Yes, I'm going to die. Yes, one of you will betray me. Yes, even Peter, you will deny me. But trust in me. You have not placed your faith wrongly when you trust in me. When your heart is filled with troubles and anxieties, have you ever said something like this? Lord, if I could just see you, if I could just see you, to see your hand at work in this world, to see your heart of love that's poured out towards me, if I could just see that, Lord, that would comfort my heart so much. Have you ever had thoughts similar to that? I have. What does God say to those thoughts? Does he reject that? Absolutely not. This is what he says. He says, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to his words. Look at his works. And when you do, you see me. You see, God meets our heart cry to see him in the person of his Son. That's why Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me, and I will comfort your heart. How do we know that Jesus is for them, though? How do we know that? Because ultimate peace with God comes through Jesus. And that's what Jesus begins to explain in these second and third verses here. You see, Jesus has told his disciples that he is going to depart, and Jesus has told his disciples that he is going to die, and it has shaken them to the core. Now, Jesus comforts their hearts by telling them and showing them the heart of God. Three truths that Jesus speaks of here in these verses that comforts the hearts of his disciples. Number one, the Father has a place for his own. Is your heart troubled this morning? Know this, that God has a place for his own. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms, or some translations are mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus comforts his disciples' troubled hearts by reminding them that this world, in its broken condition, is not the ultimate hope of his people. His people's hopes are higher than this broken world. His people's hopes are more satisfying than what anything that this world can offer. In fact, their hopes are in God, to be located in his presence with him forever. Jesus says, "My Father's house." What does Jesus mean when he says that? My Father's house. The abode of God. The place where God resides in the well. And we might call that place heaven. That's what Jesus is doing. He's using symbolic, figurative language to talk about heaven. He goes, in my Father's house, in heaven, there is what? A place for you. A place for you. Now, the word there is mansion, right? And that's the translation of the Greek word mone, which means dwelling place. Or if we're talking about a house, a room, right? There is a room. There is a dwelling place for you. Jesus is not so much talking about luxury here. He's talking about a place with God. You have a place with God if you trust in him. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places. And Jesus emphasizes that by saying, if that were not true, I would have said nothing about that. Nothing about that. As the brokenness of this world causes troubles in your heart, and they do, be comforted by this. This broken world is not your home. You were not made for this. God has a place for you where there will be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more broken hearts. My Father's house has many rooms, and there's one prepared for you. Number two, truth number two. Jesus' departure is to prepare a place for his own. That's what he says. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus comforts his disciples by telling them about his mission, what his departure will accomplish. He goes to prepare a place for his own. Now, sometimes when we think about Jesus' phrase here, we think about Jesus going to heaven and putting on the carpenter's robe, right? And preparing a place for his own. But Jesus spoke the world into existence with the word of his power. He does not need to go and spend time to prepare a place. Then you may ask, well, what does it mean when Jesus is leaving and preparing a place? It's the way that Jesus goes that will prepare a place for God's people. What do you mean that? How will Jesus go to God? He will go through the cross. He will grow through the empty tomb. He will go through the resurrection, and he will go through the ascension. And that is the way that Jesus prepares a place for his people. You see, Jesus' sacrifice for sin prepares a place for his people in God's presence. Jesus taking upon death and lying in a tomb takes our death away so that we can have a place to be with God forever. Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of resurrection life for his people. And Jesus' ascension to glory is the ascension that we all will take to be back with God, with him forever. It's not that Jesus is there preparing a place. It is the way that he has left that prepares a place for his people. And here we come to the heart of the matter. Why would Jesus do this? Why would Jesus, the Son of God, die upon a cross? Why would Jesus bury life himself, lie in a tomb made for dead people? Why would he do that? Why would Jesus do that? Is your heart troubled this morning? Know this, the reason that Jesus did this is because he loved you. As Paul says in Galatians, he loved me and he gave himself for me. There is nothing that will comfort a troubled heart more efficiently, better than to know that you are loved. I don't know if you've ever had it happen to you one day. You've had a hard day at the office. Do you know what I mean when I say that? You've had a hard day at the office, no matter if it's at an office or somewhere else. And you come home, and when you get home, your heart is just full of anxiety. And somebody you love comes and gives you a hug. Or they come up to your leg and hold on to you. Or they wrestle you down to the ground, right? And before long, those troubled hearts are gone. Why? Because you know that you are loved. Or maybe you've had that hard day at the office, and you just get on that phone, and you talk to someone who's 1,000 miles away, and they say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I still love you. And by the time that phone call's finished, your troubles, they're melting away. Why is that? Because that person loves you. And even if the trouble is your own fault, sometimes we fall flat on our face. And then you get home, and they still love you. They still love you. We have fallen flat on our faces. On our worst day, Jesus still loves us. He gave himself for you. He proved his love. Let that comfort your troubled heart, that you, on your worst day, am loved by Jesus. That's the second reason. He goes to prepare a place for his own. And the third reason is this: Jesus will come again to receive his own unto himself. He will not leave you alone. Let us continue to read there. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I go to prepare a place to you, and if I go, you can count on this, I will come again, and I will take you to myself. Jesus comforts his disciples' troubled hearts by telling him that his departure and separation is not permanent, it's temporary. The hope of the Christian is not found in this world. It's found in a person, and that person's name is Jesus. The culmination of the Christian hope is the coming again of his Lord to take us to be with himself. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he talks about this in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And the verse 18 is this: therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let them comfort your troubled heart. I end with this. Have you ever been homesick? We've heard this earlier, haven't we? You just want to be home. Maybe you long to go back to where you grew up. Maybe you desire to go back to see mom and dad or friends. Maybe you want just to get back home to see your spouse or to your children. You just want to go home. Have you ever noticed that when you get a chance to go back home, no matter how good, how sweet, how wonderful the visit is, your heart is never fully satisfied? Have you ever noticed that? I've been at home in the midst of being loved on by my parents, and my heart's not fully satisfied. And I wonder to myself, what's going on here? Or a vacation. Have you ever planned a great, wonderful vacation? And it was good, but your heart still has that empty place in it. What's going on there? What's going on there? Why is it that even when I go back to what I think will satisfy my heart, it never really does? Have you ever asked yourself why? Maybe the answer is this: you were not made for this world. Maybe you were not made for this world. Maybe you were made for something better than this broken world. Maybe you were made for something greater. Maybe you were made to fellowship with God forever with Him in heaven. Maybe, just maybe, that longing in your heart will never be satisfied with a place here. It will only be satisfied with a person, and His name is God. Maybe, just maybe, He is the satisfaction, the deepest satisfaction our hearts are longing for. Friends, has your heart been troubled? Does your heart seem thirsty and never able to be quenched? Does your mind run in a thousand different directions but never settles on the peace of God? Listen to the words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to be with myself, and you will be with me forever. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we all have had and have troubled hearts. That is something that you already know. And Lord, I pray that this morning that your words of comfort will cause our hearts no longer to be troubled, but to trust in the living God, to believe in God, and to believe in His Son, who has done everything to give us peace with God and peace in our hearts. Lord, where does that peace come from? It comes from you, from trust in Jesus, who gave Himself upon the cross for our sins, who rose again from the grave, and who lives in heaven, and who says, I will come again and take you to be with myself. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would take troubled hearts and allow them to believe in you again. Lord, this might be the 400,000th time that they've placed their faith in you to comfort their troubled hearts. Do it. This might be the first time that they've ever placed their faith in God, in Jesus, to comfort their troubled hearts. Lord, would you do it? Comfort their hearts as they believe and trust in you. Lord, if there's anyone here whose heart is troubled, comfort them by allowing them to believe in you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.